The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Make Mondays the best day of the week with Monday Night Football at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 13 screens inside overtime. Join us for an epic watch party packed with excitement, good company, and amazing prizes. 49ers, home game tickets up for grabs all season long. Enjoy the delicious buffet. Get your team gear on. Grab your friends and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. For complete details, visit WindRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
This is an encore presentation of We the People on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. I was trying to read Bill's mind.
I was given hand signals.
I'm like, you want me to land the plane now? Look, what are you saying? Oh, dear. That always starts off something kooky. Something kooky. Bring us back to something not kooky. So let's see. Webpage today was... As I've already confessed, kooky. Had the wrong date on it. It said January because that was the last day we spoke with our guest. But today's really September 8th, 2024.
That's correct.
And the archive will be posted correctly at wethepeopleradio.us with no commercials. And it is free to access, listen to, and share. You can do whatever you like with it. Archives go back. I keep saying 14 years, but is that real? Is it 14 years now?
Yeah,
it's like 14 years.
I don't want to admit to that.
14 years in October.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of archives on a lot of topics. Tabs on the top, like shows that we've done, enough stuff that really we had to kind of cluster the shows so it'd be easier to find, are on marijuana, China, environmental stuff, government and national security, veterans, South Africa. We just spoke with our friend Harry Booyans last week. Get an update on South Africa. Did a whole ton of shows on Islam. Super interesting. And that's a topic that interests you at all, or you kind of think you know about it. You might want to take a listen. We've had some really interesting people on there giving us a lot of intel. Dr. Peter Pry, who is no longer with us, but we left his shows on the tab up top because He's the head of the Congressional EMP Commission, a really smart guy, very, very interesting. We did a bunch of shows. And, of course, our friend in Arizona, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. So for the people who listen on a regular basis, if you'd like to kind of listen back on some of your people that that we have on frequently, that's the best way to do it. And
yeah, send them over there.
And we have a tab for, it's got little stars around it, the transgender issue,
because
that's today.
Yeah.
So save the best for last. Tell us about our sponsor, Bill, and then we'll get to our guest, Sharon.
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And they have everything you want when it comes to John Deere products. They have Ryder mowers. They have tractors, implements. They have a whole line of electric yard care products, handhelds, riders, all electric. And go up and see them. They're very knowledgeable, and they can get you fixed up with just about need. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at Pape Machinery. That's PAPEMachinery.com.
In case you're from out of town.
Yeah, in case you're from out of town or not within the five western states, because that's, that's kind of where they occupy. Yeah, they have...
And they occupy, huh?
Well, yeah, they're a pretty large company. They have, I think, 55 ag and turf stores throughout the five western states, Alaska and Hawaii, and I think all together with their Kenworth stores and heavy equipment stores, they're up over 150, 160 locations. So
nice.
You're not very far from a Pape Machinery. Just go up and see them, and they can get you fixed up.
Cool. Well, they're probably doing better than some of our fast food outfits.
Man, isn't that the truth?
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you'd see a McDonald's close?
Yeah. Can't make any money.
In a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Like up in Bernie.
Yeah.
The McDonald's
closed. Oh, they closed up there,
They closed.
Oh, wow.
Somebody stuck a sign in the window that said Taco Bell coming soon, but... As we all noticed, the sign was on the outside of the window. So if it was really coming, it would be on the inside of the window.
Yeah.
So we figured that was a rumor. Anyway, kind of interesting. I don't know if it means people are eating more healthy. I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that. It just means nobody has any money.
Yeah, I don't think Taco Bell's going to be a great alternative anyway, because I did swing into a Taco Bell here about 3 weeks ago on my way back from Oregon. I just wanted a taco and hit the road, and
$45.
Two tacos and I got something else. I didn't even get a drink, and it was $16. I thought, wow, I think I'll be making my own tacos.
But you know, I just heard on the news this morning that Kamala Harris is touting the environment. Well, that too, but the economy.
Oh, the economy's doing great.
Doing so well.
Yeah, job markets are up. I mean, everything is swell.
So we're obviously stupid and going to the wrong places. But
yeah, we must not.
Living in rural America,
we're in a different universe.
We're being punished.
Yeah.
So Sharon does not live in rural America, so maybe she can give some insight into her fast food pricing model down there or something. But oh, wait,
yeah, no. I am not in rural America, but I am in Smallville, right? I'm in Santa Barbara, and yeah, everything here is ridiculous. So I haven't eaten fast food for probably a decade, but I really can't.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I try to stay away from it.
Not my thing either. I'm gonna take away Bill's wallet so he can't go anymore. But he's got the debit card. But the bank forgot to send me mine, so we have to have a negotiated truce. I've got some cash, and Bill's got a debit card, and between us,
it's
go
a good
to-
thing, too. We went to the grocery store yesterday, and I forgot my wallet. She goes, oh, I need your debit card at the check stand.
At the check stand.
It's like, I don't have my wallet.
We almost had to become those people.
Yeah.
Can
you put all this
can
back?
Can you put all our stuff back? Didn't have to. Yay. But, nothing like going to the grocery on the 1st and then realize your debit card expired in August, the day prior. And And who looks at their debit card expiration date? Everybody run to your wallet right now. but normally the bank can just print them for you, but it turns out their machine's broken. I'm like, really? I don't know. We're lucky that you're here and we're here, because I just don't seem to be able to get there from where I am these days. Hey, so we should tell people about you, because we have not had you on since the webpage told everybody January something 2024 this year. So
that ago? I can't believe it.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
January.
It seems wrong. I've replayed the show since, but still. So let's see. Our friend Sharon Byrne is a nonprofit and government relations expert with over two decades of advocacy experience, leadership experience. She brings to Wolf, which is the Women's Liberation Front, because we do talk about actual real wolves, the furry kind, so this is different. This is the Women's Liberation Front Wolf. Vital community building experience and connections, currently serves as the president of the Santa Barbara United Nations Association, served as a delegate to the UN Conference on the Status of Women and the Generation Equality Forums. We never asked you about that. I'm kind of curious about that. Sharon's an author of multiple published articles on women's rights, including an op-ed in The Independent, revealing revealing the insidious presence of human trafficking in Santa Barbara. That's a pretty small place for that. Also serves on the board of the Santa Barbara Women's Health Coalition and has been a vocal advocate for women's reproductive sovereignty. She was awarded the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office Exceptional Civilian Award, yay Sharon, in 2023 for her work with the Montecito Association in reducing gang violence, preventing human trafficking, pioneering a model to end homelessness in the county. Please, if you ever figure that out, could you please
come on up.
Make that really make that really, like, good God. She holds a master's degree in psychology. So she has already assessed Bill and I and found us wanting and decided
this is just my radio persona. It's not really me.
Yeah, this is our fake, not even our real name.
Please don't judge me.
She has a bachelor's degree in management and economics, so she knows what's going on there. A certificate in human rights consulting from the International Institute for Human Rights, and she joined Wolf as the executive director in 2023. She is a friend of one of our folks from up at Copco Lake. Lest we bring up the unpleasantness of the horrible tragedy that is the Klamath Dam removal, and said, hey, you should talk to my friend Sharon. And I'm thinking, oh, no, she's one of those kooky feminists from the 60s. I don't want to do that. And then she's like, no, she's not one of those. That's not what they do. I was like, oh, I'm such a hater. So anyway, turned out we had a whole lot in common, all of us. And for those of you who've never heard Sharon, we'll tell you at some point in the show. We'll give you the TERF, what is it, like criteria or assessment. You can find out if you're part of the TERFin. My people up in Siskiyou County are still laughing when you came on with them and on Skype. They're every time I run into somebody from that meeting, they're like, I'm still in the TERFin.
That was the most hilarious thing to hear all those men on that call go, damn it, I'm a TERF. I loved it. It was brilliant.
It was hilarious. They had such a good time. Everybody still talks about him like you made a real impression. So
you know, we hear that Mother Nature is a TERF as well, and we also hear that karma is a TERF. So TERF are powerful, man. Don't mess with them.
Don't mess with them. Well, they're running the world a little. So they're, what are they, trans-exclusionary radical feminists?
That's right.
Yes. Finally got it. I was so bad at that. So it's TERF, trans-exclusionary radical feminists. So before I give people the, you know, the uneducated version of that or what I think it is, tell people. So in case somebody's like, wait, I got to get out of the car. What is it?
It is typically used as a slur, but of course, we feminists have turned around and turned it into a badge of honor, right? That Like all good slurs, right? We turned it around and made it into our own personal badge of honor. And of course, the British women took it and went a little further with it, that the plural of TERF is the TERFin, right? So there's a lot of TERFin running around in the UK. In fact, a lot of Manglosphere, period. But what is a radical feminist? A radical feminist is a woman who believes that we must abolish certain things in order for women to achieve full self-sovereignty. You would say, well, you don't have self-sovereignty today? We kind of did, but we were standing on some super thin ice and we didn't realize it. And I see that you've got part of it on your show today, which is Title IX, that women are not defined in the Constitution with full rights, right? That where we are mentioned is the 19th, which is giving women the right to vote. But a lot of other ways, the laws that have given women rights are being very much eroded under our feet. Radical feminists started raising hell about this and have been ever since. But radical meaning not crazy, wild, chaotic, none of that. Radical meaning the root, you know, the very base, the very, the most essential bit of feminism. So, yes, a lot of the men that were in the show that we did last time were a little shocked to find themselves being radical feminists. But at the end of the day, they agreed that, you know, humans cannot change sex. We are not born in the wrong body. That women should be able to walk around with free rights, right, and be able to have self-sovereignty. It was a very surprising moment when people discovered that they are radical feminists. They usually get backed into it. And one of the things radical feminists really hate is violence against women in all forms, right? So actually we really can't stand the way porn has gotten so rapey and violent and full of human trafficking. Obviously we'd hate human trafficking. We don't like the idea of surrogacy and, you know, basically farming women's bodies, you know, for money. So that's kind of what a radical feminist is, and the reason that they are TERF and trans exclusionary is because radical feminists do not believe that men who throw on a dress and declare themselves women are truly female. We just don't buy it. we just don't buy it.
It's just not going there.
Yep, and I think a lot of men agree too, you know, that they're not. And so when people, way back in the day, and I think, Aaron, you and I had a conversation about this, you know, most people were familiar with the term transvestite. Some people were even familiar with the term transsexual.
What's the difference? Is there one?
There is. Actually, don't laugh when I tell you this, but I actually gave a speech on this at Georgia Tech as a sophomore back in the 90s for my public speaking class. My congressional rep at that time was John Lewis, and he was proposing a bill that would make it so that you could not be fired for sexual orientation, and for some reason he added, or being transvestite or being transsexual. So I had to go look those up because I didn't know what they meant. So transvestite is always a male that enjoys fetish dressing in women's clothes, that he is really turned on by the idea of himself as a woman, and that he likes all the most horrible parts of womanhood that women don't like being objectified, raped, all of that, right? That turns a transvestite on. So are drag queens transvestites? Yeah, that's kind of how we knew them. And then a transsexual is a person, almost always, again, male, one or two sort of historic females, but almost always male. And a transsexual is a person that believes that they are actually meant to be the other sex, that they are not just turned on by it. They actually need to have the full-on experience. So they will often go on cross-sex hormones. So if you're male, you're going to be taking estrogen. They will have serious surgeries that are all plastic surgeries, basically, but that will remove the penis, invert it, turn it into a vagina. They will try to get rid of all their hair, right, their facial hair and body hair. Some have facial feminization surgery. Some get breast implants. So this is a person who goes to great extremes in surgeries and hormones to try to live as the other sex. But at the end of the day, they still will not sprout ovaries, right? That's not going to happen. They're not going to sprout a cervix. They're not going to have female anatomy. It's just not going to happen. And there are a lot of scientists who think your sex is down to the genetic DNA level. So you can't just plastic surgery it into something else. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't change that person. So I didn't know what those terms meant, but then when I gave that speech at Georgia Tech on this law that John Lewis was looking to pass to make it illegal for you to fire someone because of either their sexual orientation or because they have transvestism or they have, you know, or transsexual. So those are the terms that we used to know. And then I guess in the 90s and early 2000s, this whole transgenderism thing came out, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you were the one that pointed out that gender descends from a Latin word genus, which is kind, of a kind, you know, of a group. You know, that's what it means. And it's been commonly used by the UN and others. Gender has been used to basically replace sex. I think they think of it as a much more polite way of saying sex, right? And so, you know, the UN uses, like, gender-based violence, right? For example, and what they mean is violence against women and girls. So
and I don't know if they mean that anymore.
Because
all seems to be okay.
Mm-hmm. I know. Typically in diplomatic circles, government circles outside the United States, that is what gender is. They use gender, I guess, because they think it's less scary than sex, maybe, or less pejorative.
Well, see, I always figured that they morphed it. It was an easy morph because, you know, we're the descendants of Puritans, so we don't like to say, you know, a lot. It's easy to get rid of words in the popular speech or in common speech. You know, saying the word sex was salacious. So it sort of morphed into this gender thing, and then pretty soon on all of our forms, instead of saying sex, male or female, where you check the box, then it said gender, and then people started to think they were the same word. You know,
yeah.
Just a nicer, like a less sort of racy version of the same word. But really, they mean two totally different things.
They do, and you're right, they've fallen into very much common parlance. And then, of course, in academic circles, they took gender and ran away with it, that gender could mean anything. You could be any gender. There's millions of genders, you know, and somehow this is completely divorced from the
I have a staff assistant who sends us every Friday. There are 52 Fridays in a year, just in case anyone's counting. He sends us gender of the week every Friday. And I got to tell you, he keeps coming up with new ones. He's like, okay. How is that even possible? We have to take a quick break. While we were on break, I'm going to find Friday's gender of the week because I'm like, oh, come on. No one believes.
Yeah, he's not making them up either.
No, they have flags. This is what started it. It was the flags. They all have their own different flags. And I'm like, you're going to run out of colors. Like, you're just going to have to run out of colors. It's silly. This can't go on forever. I will look up the most recent gender of the week because I think you'll find it funny. And our guest is Sharon Byrne. I think you're going to enjoy the whole show, actually, if you're listening, and probably want to send it to a friend along with the other shows we've done with her. You can find those at wethepeopleradio.us. And there you have it.
There you go.
Is just perfect every single time. I don't know why it's so funny, but it just seems to hit the mark. And any way you want it, that's just a song. You can't really do that. I forgot to give the disclaimer. Okay, so gender of the week time. You ready for this one? All right. It's spelled E-O-S, gender. So I don't know if it's EOS or whatever. Is a gender identity that is the direct opposite of ego gender. Like you knew what that was. One's gender feels so much like the people around them that it can only be defined by those people.
Oh, well, that's handy.
Other people get to choose. EOS gender is different from Voss gender. Dare you to define that. Or Miro gender, in which one's gender changes to mirror those of the people around them. Those are all different.
Oh.
Two more weeks coming. I'll get to find out what those are.
Now, that one could be interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So, I don't know. Sharon, you should do a book on that.
That's hilarious and so disempowering. I mean, why would you give up your agency like that? Why would you ever say, everyone else has the right to defend me, I can't even define myself,
but
I'm so confused.
The idea that you're at the DMV or whatever and you've got to, you know, you need to fill in the blank, hold on, let, you know, group think.
Yeah, but most of your government forms, I think, are very, very biased because they say gender, male or female. Hey, where's the rest of them? I mean, don't they have to change their forms?
What about everybody else?
Yeah.
They should make them put the flag on there because this one's super ugly. It's like a peach stripe, a black stripe, and then kind of a heinous tangerine stripe.
Oh, yeah, we'll know what that is when we
down,
see it.
They're down to all the ugly colors now.
I moved from Atlanta to Dallas, right? I had to go to the Dallas DMV, right, the Texas DMV, to get a Texas driver's license. So there's this big trooper sitting at this desk with one of those 10-gallon hats on, because they always have hats on in Texas. And he looks at me and he says, ma'am, I'm going to need you to surrender that Georgia license. And I was like, surrender? Can't I just, that's kind of harsh language, dude. Can't I just, like, hand it over or just get it?
Surrender? Totally, I mean, something,
like,
I would do.
Right? I'm like, I just feel so criminal. And so, you know, he laughed and he said, just to hand it over. And I said, I did. And then he took it. And, you know, I went through the line to get the license. But now I'm thinking about this. I'm like, you go to the DMV and you're confused about your gender, and that's the guy you run into.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, I'm definitely a Texas, you know, ranger with a cowboy hat. That's my gender, right? Like, I cannot imagine giving up my agency like that. I just couldn't do it.
But, I mean, it's just silly. And gender is a social construct anyway. So it's not about your body parts. It's not about biology. Sex is about biology. That's a chromosomal definition.
Exactly. Well, and that's, Aaron, there you go. You just got your rad femme.
They use the C word?
Because radical feminists do believe that it is a construct, that it needs to be abolished. And what they mean is, we don't want to be limited by it. You know, don't tell me I got to do something because I'm a woman, or I can't do something because I'm a woman. I want to get rid of that, right? And at first, we kind of sound like the genderists. We kind of sound like those transy people because they're like, yeah, we want to get rid of, you know, we don't want to be limited, you know, by gender, too. But this is where we part ways, because the way that they then carry out gender is the most bigoted, awful aspect. It's like they amplify and distort the aspects of the opposite sex that they're trying to become. It's like, oh, my God, even the people that are that sex aren't like that. You know, and the drag queen example is really relevant. A lot of women feel very mocked. You know, by drag queens, very like you're taking all the worst parts of women and amplifying them, distorting them, and, you know, making us look like crazy creatures, right? That a lot of rad femmes have a lot of problems with that sort of thing. And you can see why, because it's like you're taking the stereotypical aspects of them and making them much more amplified. Why would we want to do that? You know, why would that be good? So you've just graduated, dear. I'm going to send you your rad femme three cards.
Well, I just want you to know that if you want to add a yellow stripe to the ugly flag I just described earlier, you could be bond fluid. That's a gender identity where one's gender changes as they form loose bonds and relationships. I'm not sure what the difference between loose bonds and relationships. I'm not sure how they're in the same sentence because those are really different.
So,
it's a subset of, oh, yeah, you guessed it, gender fluid.
Yeah. So, so you could say, you know, you're just not the same as you were when we met yesterday.
Right? Because you're better friends now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday you seemed a little different.
See, your parents were right. Our parents were right the whole time. They said, you know, you become like the people you hang out with.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
You are the subset of your five closest friends. It was really all about gender training, and it was some secret backdoor gender training that parents were doing that they learned and weren't allowed to talk about. That's my theory.
Huh.
My parents are gone. I can't verify that. And they'll never know I said it out loud in public.
My mom's in the next room, and she's always worried about that.
Okay. Well, there you go. You can go check now. I just this whole thing has just gotten ridiculous, but in all... This seems kind of out of character, but in all seriousness, what this has led to, most people are following the Title IX problems, you know, with especially like the Olympics. You know, you have some poor girl getting clubbed by a giant man pretending to be a girl. You have that kind of thing, which I just don't know anybody who thinks that that's okay.
Well, apparently the Olympic committee thought it was okay when they let men do women's boxing, and gosh, they both won gold medals.
Huh?
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the weightlifting, I like that.
Yeah, really.
How do you feel good about that?
I think that woke a lot of people up. Actually, I think a lot of people were really shocked by that. And it's, you know, there's, I think, you know, a main cook, is it a main? Yeah. He went back to Algeria, and the explanation that came out was, well, something is different about this person for sure, because their family went up in the mountains and then they changed. I was like, you can go up a mountain and come down as the opposite sex? Who knew?
Like,
anybody hikers? Like, oh my God. What happens in the Algerian mountains exactly? I'm dying to know.
Yeah. Yeah, what? I need to know the altitude where that is. We should have warning labels.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been hiking and camping my whole life. Like, I never knew that I could go up a mountain and come down as a man. God, why didn't somebody tell me? So, yeah, that was a crazy one. In the Taiwanese boxer, same exact thing, yeah. And, you know, women in this country and in a lot of countries have been really griping about this and saying, you know, at first it looks like confused boys, you know, want to be on our sports teams, and how come we have to let them? And I keep watching it, you know, in reverse and wondering, so where are all the women training to get in the boxing ring, you know, with men? Where are the women looking to take
Yeah, exactly.
Where's that, you know, or trying to get into World Cup soccer, right? Where are the women, you know, crowding onto the men's team in World Cup soccer? It's not happening, right? It's a one-way street. And it really, one of the problems that feminists have and why they got so very involved in this whole transgenderism thing is because the way that it's being carried out is to absolutely erode and destroy women's rights. And I will tell you, as an international human rights consultant, never in the history of human rights have we done this. Never. No. We have never done it this way. We have never, in order to grant some people some rights, we have never taken rights away from another group. Right? We just don't, that is not how we do human rights. It does not work like that. So the fact that it is working like that now, that, you know, in order to accommodate trans rights, well, women just have to chuck it. Give up your sports, give up your bathrooms, give up your job, because, you know, they can always hire a guy in a dress for your woman job, right? So, like, you have to just chuck it. And I think it's BS. It's total BS. That is not how we do human rights. So something's very wrong with this movement in the way that it seeks to colonize women's rights for itself. Something's very wrong in it, and a lot of women are very upset about that.
Well, the violence aspect, I think, well, I know, becomes just not discussed, because that's a super inconvenient truth.
Yeah, so let's talk about that violence aspect, right? So here in California, we have a law, Senate Bill 132, that Scott Wiener from San Francisco, and he is the devil, he passed that law in 2020. Governor Newsom signed it, and I can't believe it. And basically that law says, oh, if you identify as a woman and you're serving your time in the man's prison, well, you can transfer right on over to the ladies' prison. And the state has now transferred tons of men into the women's prison. And this January, one of those guys, a very big, tall guy named Tremaine Carroll, full beard and everything, raped two women in the women's prison in Chowchilla, California, this January. And he is now standing trial in Madera County. The district attorney there is Sally Marino, and she told me she's got a solidly provable case. So I went to the first trial, you know, like a preliminary hearing, and, yeah, they do have a case. They really do. And he is raping women in the women's prison. So that is how crazy we've gone with this, where, and let me ask you this, you know, what MA guy sitting in the prison, you know, at San Quentin or whatever, isn't going to go, wait, all I have to do is tell you I feel like a woman and I can go over the women's prison?
Exactly.
Really? Like, who's not going to jump at that, right? So there's like 400 guys lined up to transfer over. 400. And the women's facility in Chowchilla only holds 3,000, and the women's facility in Chino only holds 1,000. So you put 400 prisoners, right, males, in a population of 4,000 women, what do you think is going to happen in there?
Yeah, exactly. That's just crazy.
That's terrifying. And if it's anything like, now, what kind of a prison? Is this a state prison or a federal prison?
So the feds do not have this law. These are state
prisons. Yeah, because those are, I was going to say, though, the federal prison up at Hurlong, I've been in there. That's a men's prison. Medium security, by the way.
You've been in a men's prison?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But I've seen a Roman Gladiator movie, too, just in case you're checking. Jimmy. But
and Aaron,
yeah?
Rape and murder are state crimes, not federal crimes.
Right.
So rapists and murder go to state prison, not federal.
We'll get this. Okay, so here you go. Medium security federal prison. What do you think the worst crime is that you would, that, you know, would get you into a medium security federal prison?
Something to do with RICO?
Yeah, how about chopped his family into small pieces?
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
How did he end up in the federal prison, though?
I don't know. I don't know where he was when he was chopping. Maybe it was a location issue. I'm not sure. But the thing that was really stunning is here you had, well, let's see, you had they're like wings, but it's like the cell block. So like you would see on TV that's got the little picnic tables where all the chairs are hooked on.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Okay, so all the doors have to be locked individually. They don't lock with like pull a switch and they all go. There are keys. They lock and unlock 128 people in that section. How many guards do you think?
I don't know, 1 per 100?
About 1 per 128.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. And at some points...
And how terrifying would that be if you were a guard?
Yeah, it's a
little
weird.
And there were people that are fairly violent people.
Well, they ask me, they go, well, you know, do you want to just meet with the warden or do you want to go in the prison? And I'm like, well, you're having problems. Do you work in the prison? Well, yeah, I work in the prison. And I go, well, I guess I should go in the prison, huh? And they're like, okay, here, you have to sign this paper that basically says, you know, if you become a hostage, like, see ya, that kind of stuff. And it's serious. I mean, anybody who thinks that working in, I've been to Pelican Bay too. That was a state one. Pelican Bay was, in an odd way, nicer. The federal prison was rough. There was nothing fancy about it. People think they're sitting around watching TV and playing golf. Yeah, not happening. It's gnarly. It is a gnarly place. The conditions are not great. It's like a pirate ship. The boiler was broken that day. They gave him a piece of chicken. They could only give them food that cooked in the oven. They couldn't do any of the steam plate stuff because the boiler was down. It's 100 degrees in the cafeteria, and here's your piece of chicken. I'm like, you guys are running a pirate ship. You're like a mutiny. This is terrible. An army marches on its stomach. I'm assuming a prison does too. Yeah, here's your piece of chicken. Welcome to the pirate ship. And the Board of Prisons, honestly, we've done some shows about this. The Board of Prisons is just like, well, you know, they classify everyone as a prison guard. Everyone's a prison guard. So if you're the librarian, you're a prison guard. Because they're all considered correctional officers.
Are those numbers included in the one for every 128?
Yes.
That includes the librarians
and
the nurses?
Physically, there's only one person in there for the 128 that are on that wing. It's just because they count everybody. It'd be like everybody in school that's over 5 feet tall is a teacher. You know, doesn't matter what. And so your student-teacher ratio is amazing. That's what the prisons are doing. So and that's a nationwide problem at the federal level. So now you're looking at the state level, I don't think it's a whole lot better, but you're looking at putting men in women's prison. The protection for an inmate, you just do the math. It's out there.
Very much so. And, you know,
women's crime stats are getting ready to plummet.
Stats are getting ready to plummet. You know, earlier this year, right as we were going to the preliminary hearing for this inmate, Tremaine Carroll, that raped the two women, the same week that we went up to Madera for that preliminary hearing, my organization, Women's Liberation Front, had sued the state for passing Senate Bill 132 and violating women's human rights, right? And we based it on 14th Amendment, right? No unreasonable, you know, arrest, seizure, et cetera. And the federal judge, because we filed in federal court, the federal judge, a woman, threw out our case and said, your fears of rape are overstated.
Wow.
While we were going to the opening trial, right?
Oh, your fears are overstated.
Your fears are overstated.
Let's absorb that. We have to take a quick break. Probably going to have to switch to decaf, just a fair warning. I don't have a song about that, but...
that's just a mind blow.
Yeah, if I did, I'd play it. Unbelievable. We will be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She is the executive director for the Women's Liberation Front, commonly known as WOLF. Big W, little O, big L, big F. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I can see by your eyes, you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy. Cause I've seen that movie too.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Reading, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Original Exclusivos Nicaraguan Puro Corojo Wrapper equals a Don Pepin Classic. Cubanesque in flavor, strength, and size, this is the stick to celebrate your latest victory. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
There's your Judge's soundtrack. Okay, so tell us that again, Sharon. You go in to claim. Do it again.
Our case, we filed it in 2021 after Senate Bill 132 went into practice in California, went into law. And we filed on behalf of four female inmates who wanted us to do this as well, that their civil rights are being violated by being housed against their will with men, male inmates, and not being asked to give consent, any of that. And as our case wended through the federal court system in the Eastern District of California, the female judge said, you know, and she dismissed our case, and she dismissed it by, and by the way, this guy that committed these rapes was an intervener on our lawsuit with the ACLU. He was an intervener, basically saying that, you know, we have a vested interest in this case because he was one of the ones who was transferred in. Dana Rivers was also transferred in to the South Shore facility. Dana Rivers is a man who murdered a lesbian couple and their son. He was transferred into the women's facility. So the judge, in dismissing our case, you know, first gave state immunity, even though the state had not asked for it, and then said, you know, the fears expressed here of rape are overstated. And literally she did that. She issued that decision on July 12th, and on July 14th, we went to the preliminary trial for Tremaine Terrell, who was forcibly raped two women in the Child Shelter facility in January.
And so when she determined that the fears of rape were overblown, it had already happened. Yeah, okay.
And for the record, what was he in prison for originally?
He was a third striker. So he had done some sexual assaults. I think he had molested a kid. He had done some violent crimes. Mm-hmm. But he was a third strike felon, believe it or not.
So, yeah, there's no reason to think he would ever do anything like that in a women's prison.
Oh, no, he's perfectly fine. It's astonishing to us. It absolutely gobsmacks the mind, right? You just can't get your head around who thinks this is a good idea. Well, you probably were watching earlier in the summer when Judge Netburn came up for confirmation in the Senate Judiciary Committee, a Biden appointee for federal judge. Were you watching that story?
No, I'm terrified.
Okay. She's out of New York, and this is all happening all at the same time, right? This all happened in July.
Okay.
And so she's up for a federal judge appointee in New York State, and as a magistrate judge, there was a man who wanted to transfer into the women's prisons in New York, and as a magistrate judge, she overrode the Bureau of Prisons, who said, we don't want him in there. we don't think he's going to be good. It's not going to be a good thing, you know, for the women. She overrode him and transferred the male in over the Bureau of Prisons objection to the federal prison. And Senator Cruz, who I normally don't agree with on much on any day, really went after her in her questioning and said, you know, you transferred, and this man had raped an 18-year-old girl and assaulted, like, a 14-year-old boy. And he said, you thought it was a good idea to transfer this guy into the women's prison. And she said, well, she was essentially female. Essentially female. How do you be essentially female?
Except for your essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm,
that. Yeah, how do you do that? So we started a campaign at Wolf immediately on seeing that. And what we did was we asked all of our supporters to please email the Senate Judiciary Committee identify what state you're from. Because the votes were not there to defeat her. They were not there. There's 10 Republicans, 11 Democrats on that committee. So if all the Democrats voted in lockstep, she would be confirmed, right? So the votes weren't there. But, you know, we said, please email the Senate Judiciary Committee. Let them know if you're, and many of Wolf's supporters, you can imagine, you know, are leftists. Let them know if you're a Democrat. Let them know that you're a feminist. Let them know what state you live in and explain why this judge needs to be defeated and that she cannot be confirmed. You know, that she, New York didn't even have a law like California's, right? They didn't even have a law mandating this. The feds don't have a law mandating this. So she just did that. She just did that and overrode that, the Bureau of Prisons. So we saw the letters that got sent in, hundreds of letters got sent in. And Mitch McConnell gave a speech and said, oh, my God, we've got over 100 letters here from, you know, liberal feminists saying that this judge is a problem, we shouldn't confirm her. And it was John Ossoff from Georgia who crossed the line and refused to vote to confirm her. So she was defeated as the first nominee.
What was the excuse for that? I mean, that people were, I mean, I'm assuming that there was some, you know, defense put up like, oh, well, this should never be a disqualifier because of why?
No, nobody, unfortunately, and I, you know, we could spend all day on this conversation, but we have moved into some hyper-partisan era.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. You know, if your party basically says something, you have to follow it.
You
got to
jump off the cliff with them, yeah.
Yeah, you have to, you do, and so a lot of Dems are very afraid to speak up or say, man, I'm not good with this, you know, trans stuff. I'm just not good with, I don't really think we should be doing away with women's sports and women's prisons. I really don't think we should be doing this, because if they do, they're afraid they're going to get their heads cut off, right? And I've seen similar things on the Republican side, too. You know, it's very hyper-partisan now. And the problem is that what you've got is you've got some people standing next to you with very loud megaphones screaming in your ear as a politician, and you're tempted to believe everyone thinks this way. But our polling is showing, particularly in California, that no, people do not think this way, and that especially parents in schools, right, there's been some walkouts to schools in California where the parents have been mad, you know, that boys would be in the girls' bathrooms now, that they're allowed to just go in there, even if they have nothing to do with being, you know, trans or gender fluid or any of it, that they're completely allowed in the girls' bathrooms. And so some parents have been very upset about this because there's been some assaults in the bathrooms, as I'm sure you can imagine. You know, and so we are finding a lot of people don't have this sympathy. So I feel like the Democrats really have kind of let themselves be overrun this way and haven't really pushed back and questioned, and they really should have, because the public a lot of times is not with you on this. You know, the other problem we have is, you know, not everybody's aware. You typically find out about this when you have an experience. You know, like your kid, you know, comes home and says, hey, they let the boys in the girls' bathroom now. Or you go to a gym and there's a man, you know, shaving in the gym next to you in the girls' room. You know, and you're like, what are you doing in here? And, you know, we're moving quickly to a place where you're not going to be allowed to ask that question anymore. And that is a very frightening prospect. I mean, that's a very frightening prospect. So, yeah, that Judge Nefram was defeated. And when Ossoff was asked later, you know, why did you vote against her? We knew the emails had had an impact, but he also was doing prison reform work, right? He had taken it on himself to do some legislation and some work on the federal prison system. And when he heard that she was transferring men into the federal, I mean, he wasn't okay with it. And I'm imagining his voters in Georgia also weren't going to be okay with it. So he declined to support her nomination, and that killed it. And that was the very first Biden appointee judge that had not been confirmed.
Dang. I just, you almost can't imagine where this is going to go. Do you think, how about this, is it trending like more of same or less of same? Because it almost feels like it might have hit its zenith and is kind of going back the other way.
Yeah, it's hard to gauge. Sometimes I feel like it's turning. So one of the things that makes me hopeful is as Gen Z in particular ages, right, as Gen Z is coming into their upper 20s now, they're walking away from it. And that's interesting. But the kids behind them, of course, are falling fully into it, right? So that's happening. More and more women are waking up to it as a problem. It never was a problem for the men because it wasn't their spaces that were being invaded. And no women weren't, you know, putting on men's clothes and shoving their way into the men's bathroom. That wasn't a thing, right?
No, but they were kind of screwed in their own way because, you know, I mean, if you're in any kind of a supervisory role, you own a company, you're a manager at a company, something like that, you've got to navigate this minefield that I think we call HR these days. So, you know, nobody actually gets out unscathed.
Nobody does.
Although they're not getting beat up in their own bathroom. So, yeah.
No, you just brought up something really, really salient there. So The Biden administration took two pieces of key legislation that had long protected women's rights. They came out of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and one of them was Title IX, which was forced in school, right, that, you know, girls could not be denied opportunities or the school would lose federal funding, right, based on their sex. And it was one line piece of legislation, right? That was it, one line. And, you know, the other one that was important was what created the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, right? And that governs all employment law, as you know. And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission had long ago held in a court case that sexual harassment in the workplace was discrimination against women based on their sex because they were only getting harassed because they were women, right? That was the only reason they would get sexual harassment is because they actually were a woman. So that was the basis. Now, this year, the Biden administration rewrote both of those, and they turned one-line pieces of legislation into like 1,700 pages of garbledygook. And what they did was say you cannot discriminate based on someone's gender identity. And so you're right. Now the small employer, you know, when a customer decides that they're going to go into the women's bathroom and they're a big hulking male, or the employee does, and, you know, or the employee goes to interfere with that, an EEOC case can be opened against them and they can be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And so this is terrible, right? So many states, 26 states have sued to stop the implementation of Title IX. And so 26 states, that is on hold. And another 18 states filed to stop the implementation of the EEOC changes. And so that legislation is also on hold. And those, can you believe we live in a country like that where half the country is going to follow one set of rules and the other half the country is not?
Well, where we have abdicated common sense and logic and, you know, I mean, let's face it, everybody knows what the drill is here, you know. It's just a way to break down, I mean, I guess part of the drill. It's just a great way to break down society. You know, we have no rules, nothing is what you think, everything is what we pretend it is, and we're going to wait and tell you what we're pretending until we've decided if we want something from you.
Yeah. Well, if you work for a large company, which I do, you have deep pockets. So you have to have these extensive HR departments that do, and I want to tell you, like weekly training on everything from sexual harassment to who knows what. I mean, and it comes out, and it's mandatory classes you have to take every week. The cost of that alone in lost time and everything else has got to be staggering. You know, when you have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 employees and they all have to take this training, and yeah, maybe it's only 30 minutes times 5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money you have to spend to protect yourself, because if you're a big company and you know, they look for these companies that have the deep pockets, that chances are if some claim is made against them, it's never going to go to court. It's going to get settled.
Like the new version of your wheelchair ramp is a quarter of an inch off.
Yeah, exactly. But only it's much worse than that.
It's
now.
Way worse than that, yeah, because it happens all the time. The trick is, and for people who think, well, you know, we should be protecting all these people, hey, I got a hot tip for you. That's part of your inflation.
Yeah.
That's part of your inflation that isn't going to go away, like, until we get some common sense.
Correct. And then not only do you have to deal with these EEOC rules, many of the large corporations are having another thing happen to them. Again, because you got to be wondering, like, why is this not being publicly debated?
Well, you're not allowed to publicly debate it because you can't talk about it. Hey, but we're gonna talk about it in the next hour. We've got to jump off of the news and get some decaf.
Yeah, let's get back on that.
Then we'll be right back. Let's start with that when we go. Yeah, because you ain't seen nothing yet, says the song. Be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She's the executive director of Wolf. You're listening to We the People.
Digress.
Donald Trump has said the winner, and been declared the winner, rather, in Arizona. That allows him a complete sweep of all seven swing states in the election. Here's Bob Agnew with the latest.
The victory returns Arizona and its 11 electoral votes to the Republican column after Joe Biden's 2020 victory. The win over Kamala Harris marks Trump's second in Arizona since 2016. The former president campaigned on border security and the economy, successfully tying Harris to inflation and record illegal border crossings during the Biden-Harris administration. Bob Agnew, Washington.
In a nationwide survey from AP VoteCast, black and Latino voters making solid moves toward Donald Trump in the election. Some of the biggest shifts were coming from men under the age of 45. That helped to expand his margin over Kamala Harris. The vice president's losses with these groups largely became gains for Mr. Trump. Also at townhall.com, correspondent Charles de Ledesma says the Kremlin may be open to hearing Trump's proposals for ending the war.
Russia's deputy foreign minister says Moscow is open to hearing President-elect Donald Trump's proposals on ending the war in Ukraine. Sergei Ryabkov said Moscow and Washington were exchanging signals on Ukraine via closed channels. He did not specify whether the communication was with the current administration or Trump and members of his incoming administration. EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell, meanwhile, reassured Ukraine of European support during a visit to Kyiv on Saturday. Ukrainian officials say a Russian drone killed one person and wounded at least 13 in the port city of Odessa overnight. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
It is Remembrance Sunday in the United Kingdom. King Charles laying a wreath honoring the fallen troops. More on these stories at townhall.com.
How would you define your relief? Your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them. You know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. It's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number for relief. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
CVS Health posting a miss in third quarter profit and naming executives for two key divisions. Here's correspondent Jeremy House.
The company earned $87 million in the 3 months ending in September, down 96% from a year ago. Results were weighed down by hefty restructuring charges. CVS Health had warned Wall Street last month that the third quarter would turn out worse than expected. Meanwhile, the company also named a former UnitedHealth executive to head its Aetna business.
California farmers devoting more land to pistachios, which are seen as hardier and more drought-tolerant in a state prone to dramatic swings in precipitation. The nut has surged over the past decade to become the state's sixth biggest agricultural commodity in value, generating nearly $3 billion last year. Industry experts say pistachio orchards can withstand drought much better. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. But John Scott reports bird flu is becoming a concern.
And federal health officials are calling for more testing and treatment of workers on farms with bird flu. The new guidance comes after a new study showed that some dairy workers had signs of infection even when they didn't report feeling sick. Blood tests of 115 workers on farms in Michigan and Colorado showed that 8 workers had antibodies that indicated previous infection. The finding shows the virus may be spreading more widely. Officials say the risk to the public remains low.
John Scott reporting.
The Future Soldier Prep Course was started as a trial 2 years ago to provide additional instruction for recruits who couldn't meet the Army standards. It is now driving the Army's enlistment comeback after years of dismal recruiting numbers. By the end of the budget year in September, the Army had met its recruiting goal of 55,000. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an encore presentation of We the People on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today we are talking about the transgender issue. And you know, the thing is, you always have those people out there that are like, they're just haters. All right, well, you know, if you think mocking is hating, then I guess maybe we're haters. But at the end of the day, if you take a sensitive topic and you kind of make it fun a little bit, because, you know, that's our space, is make it fun, it might allow you to talk to somebody about that. And open the door for conversation, because this is one of those things that should be coming up a lot. We should be speaking about it a lot, but I think people don't know how to broach the subject. It seems, seems like a third rail issue. Let's make it not quite so third rail, and then we can maybe all join together, look each other in the eye, and go, okay, this is crazy. We have to fix it.
Yeah.
So back to our sponsor, who is trapped in the Uville quiz your employees on this like every other employer in the country.
Yeah.
And spending tons of money about it that they don't want to spend.
Necessary evil.
There you go.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, and they are our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They sell tractors, mowers, handheld equipment. They have it all up there. They got a showroom full of products. They just got in some new stuff for Christmas. So if you have a little one that wants to get decked out in some John Deere toys, they have electric riders, they have pedal machines, they have bicycles. They got it all in stock. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they can fix up your ag tractor, compact tractor. They work on everything up there. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, and they'd love to hear from you. So,
yeah, Costco's got Christmas trees up.
Yeah.
Why not go get your...
That's right.
Get your John Deere stuff to go under it.
Get your swag.
Christmas now starts in June.
I know.
Remember when we used to put stuff out, and Christmas stuff in before Thanksgiving, and it was like,
oh,
how gauche.
Blasphemer.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Now it's June.
Now it's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah, you're wearing shorts shopping for Christmas. And you don't live in Hawaii.
Yeah. Or you can get them on the web at papimachinery.com.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yes. All right.
So we're talking about the craziness of the whole transgender issue, and
honestly, the real world consequences of this. With, if you're a woman and you commit a crime and you go into a women's prison, you may just get a roommate.
Yeah.
Who's a man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sharon, go back for me to this this idea that a judge refused to even a man being housed with women in a women's prison might
it's just not an issue,
might attack women in the prison.
They identify as a woman, so they're a woman. What's the problem there?
Yeah,
that's what the theory requires you to do, right? The theory requires you, transgender ideology requires you to say men who say that they are women are women. I mean, you've probably seen video of Justin Trudeau screaming it from Canada, right? Trans women are women. Trans women are women. So if you it requires you to put aside the very first part of that sentence, which is trans women, that if they really were women, you would not need to say the word trans women. the very first qualifier
right.
for being a trans woman is you had to start
Great
out as
point.
A man. Right? You had to. But this this ideology requires you to put that aside and say, no, these are these men who think that they're women because they're trans women. Now, trans women are women, and you have to go along with that. So, yes, some people have brainwashed themselves into believing that humans can literally change sex, even though this is impossible. And it is very hard for those of us who do not believe that they can change sex, or that a man who puts on a dress is now a woman because he said so. That's the second part of the transgender ideology that's really problematic. I think many of us could have handled a man who went through all the surgeries and went through all the hormones and lived as a woman. I think we could have handled that. It could have been like, because there's 1 in 8 gajillion of them, right? So we were like, okay, you know, you poor thing. And this relied on women to be sympathetic, by the way. Women, by nature, do tend to be collaborating and do tend to be, you know, empathetic with others. And this ideology depended on us being empathetic, and it depended on us absolutely accommodating, right? Absolutely. So where it flipped was it went away from being transsexual, and what transgender ideology brought in was, oh, they don't even have to have hormones or they don't have to have surgery. All they have to do is say that their gender is a woman, that they feel like a woman.
Right.
That they're, today they do. And so that part of the theory is called self-ID, that it is because you said so, that therefore you are. And, you know, I would like to self-identify as the president right now and also as a billionaire. You know, like.
Bill thought he was a cowboy when he was a little kid. How's that working out for you, Bill?
Yep.
You know, and so, and all of us have dealt with children. You know, my mom said that at one point, you know, when my brother and I were little, that I put him in girls' clothes and made him do plays with me, you know, that I was the theater director. You know, I was like 5, he was 4. And she went to my dad and said, you know, is this going to be, is this bad? He said, oh, give up, right? They're playing. Kids play. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But these days, if, you know, my little brother was, you know, wearing women's clothes, they'd be rushing him off to the doctor to put him on opposite sex hormones.
Right.
So this theory went from just, you know, we ought to treat them with decency and respect, which I think everybody was down for. I don't think anybody had a problem with that. And into, you now have to believe this, and you now have to believe that because they said they're a woman inside, they are. And again, it's very disturbing for a number of reasons. One is it all seems to focus around women. So that's right there tells you something's off, right? That women have to give up space. Women have to accommodate. Women have to give up their rights. You're not seeing this being forced on the men. Now, there are a ton of girls. There's an absolute contagion at the moment of girls slicing their breasts off and calling themselves they. And when you look at them, you realize they're not actually going off to go live as a man. They're not trying to use the men's bathroom. They're not trying to, you know, get in the boxing ring with men. They're not trying to go serve in the men's prison, right? That's not what's happening here. What they're trying to do is also get out of womanhood, because womanhood looks like a really crappy deal. And I can see why. My daughter had a friend at UCSB, and the friend had a creeper dad when she was young, who took very compromising pictures of her in things that dads should not be taking pictures of their daughters in. And then she went off to UCSB, and she was assaulted and raped. And she took a case to UCSB and said, you know, you need to do something about this. You know, I've been assaulted. And they kept putting off doing anything about it. Until she graduated, and then they said, well, you know, now you're gone, so it's not our problem anymore. So this girl got no justice at all, and, you know, not surprisingly, in her mid-20s, she sliced off her breast and became a they. And at first, my daughter was really supportive of it, and then started seeing, like, something's not right with this, you know, like, something's not okay with this, you know, with this girl. And my mom and I knew right away what the girl was up to. We knew right away what she was up to. She is trying to get out of ever being assaulted again. Because of being
That's
a woman. Sad. Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. And so we're seeing that a lot with the young girls, that they're all flipping into trans. And the other thing that my daughter pointed out was a lot of what's being taught to them in school now is that you're a white colonizer, you know, terrible person. And so what you want to do is identify out of that and into some marginalized group as quickly as possible so that you can get out of being this awful white colonizer, you know, person, right? So that's part of it too. And I had not really seen that so much in the school system, but my daughter was like, oh yeah, no, there's that going on. You try to get out of, you know, being whatever this bad identity is and get into a marginalized identity so that you will be vaulted and special and called stunning and brave.
Right.
And I don't think it's stunning and brave to cut your breasts off.
No,
that is.
Do you know what the percentage of women that go through that transition and then later in life, realize, you know, this was crazy. Why did I do this? I want to go back to being a woman.
Remember what we said earlier about how the older Gen Z, so the oldest of the Gen Zs are 27 this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been meeting a bunch of Gen Z women who trans, and they're called detransitioners, which I think is like the most dehumanizing term ever. But they kind of fell into this ideology, took testosterone, ruined their voices. Their voices will always be bad now. You know, like they can never get their girl voice back. Cut off their breasts. And then later, yes, realized, oh, my God, I was horribly misled. I was just this person going through young adulthood or puberty that had as bad of a time as everybody else has. You know, like,
sure.
It's been a minute since we went through puberty, but I do remember waking up every day and going, what is my body doing now? Right? You know, like, it's doing these things that I don't know what they are or how they work or, you know, oh, my God. Like, I remember that experience, and I'm sure all of us went through something like that. But to then have someone tell you now, oh, we could stop your puberty. We could stop it and give you time to sort it out before your body actually starts changing, and then we'll put you on cross-sex hormones so you'll develop as the other sex. In what world is this considered wonderful, humane treatment for children?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get this at all. To me, this is butchery. And yes, we've met quite a few. It seems to be more women that are coming out of it. We've also met young men who briefly flirted with being trans. In fact, there's this awful documentary, awful. I will spare you watching it. It's just so awful. Of this boy who was raped repeatedly by his father, a three-year-old, and he went through a period of thinking he was trans. But it was really all to do with the abuse that he suffered as a kid and that he was just completely destroyed and confused and took a lot of therapy to get him out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we are not, you know, the group that hates trans most is parents whose kids have, you know, come home and said, I think I'm the opposite sex. You know, and they're like, where in the hell did you get this idea, right? You know, and they're very upset by it.
But then, depending on where you live, if, as a parent, you say, you know, kind of like, you can't be Superman, so please don't jump off the house. Like, here's your cape, and it's just for fun. If you don't just fully embrace this, and God forbid you are co-parenting, either in the house or through a divorce situation with somebody who is deep into the ideology, you can lose custody of your kids.
Yes. Governor Newsom barely vetoed a bill last year that would have done this in California. He barely vetoed it, but it is already a law in Washington. There are parents who have lost their kids in Oregon. You know, there was a guy that sued to get his child back because the mom was determined to transit, and I can't believe he won his case. I can't believe he won it, but he did. And yeah, it's like this is a whole
new level.
It's kind
of a weird collective insanity that you're required to join. Or else.
Yeah.
Are we getting better on the or else? Or, I mean, okay, one of the groups I always love to hate because they create such havoc in the marijuana industry and with the cartels and all that stuff is the ACLU. They just, I don't follow them religiously, but I tell you what, everything I deal with where the ACLU is a player, they're on the wrong team. They're,
you know, it's interesting that you say that. There are organizations that one would have thought would have stood up here.
Yeah.
And the ACLU would have been one of them. Yeah, no, they've totally gone to the dark side. And I will tell you, National Organization for Women, the group that pushed for the Equal Rights Amendment, right, that group has gone to the dark side. They're using terms like chest feeding people who menstruate instead of the word woman, right? you know, I don't
we're
know.
We're going to need longer spaces on our forums for that.
Right? I mean, they are, you know, they have gone to the dark side. My group joined up with some, this will make you laugh, Aaron, actually this is a good story. UN Women, remember I'm a delegate to the Conference on the Status of Women, and when we talk in New York, when 10,000 women show up in New York for the Conference on the Status of Women at the United Nations, we are talking about things like female genital mutilation, child marriage, land for women to farm so that they can feed their family. Like, we are talking about some serious
stuff,
right?
Like, things that are real and major, major issues around the world.
Yeah, women in conflict situations who are being raped. I mean, we talk about very serious stuff. This trans thing is not a thing at the UN, but UN Women was founded in 2010, United Nations Organization for the Empowerment of Women, and their mission in 2010 was, you know, strive for the empowerment of women and girls and true equality. That's their job. So in June, they put up something on their social media basically saying that you, people like you and me, even having this conversation, we are anti-right. Mm. Because, yep, we are anti-right. We are far right because we are do not believe in the LGBTQI plus whatever, you know, stuff. We don't believe in it. And many of us might have no problem with gay marriage, have no problem with people who are homosexual at all. No problem at all.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think really most people. It's like if you want to, you know, if you want to be, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, the weird one, not the fun one, go ahead. But
yeah,
but doing that with kids and forcing our workplaces to have to deal with it and all that, it's like, hard
no,
pass.
It's too far. So what we did was we met up with a group from Brazil called Matria, and we said we gotta fire back on UN Women. They have lost the plot. Calling women bigots because they do not believe men can become women is not empowering women to get true equality here. Like you've lost your way. So we joined up. We got women's rights groups from all over the world to sign on to a letter telling UN Women you have lost your way. And every time you sign this letter as an individual, it kicks off a slew of emails to UN staffers that are involved in this. So they're getting a hell of a lot of emails because we've got about 4,300 signatures on this thing so far. And it also, we asked our supporters, please contact our ambassador to the United Nations, who is Linda Thomas-Greenfield. And let me tell you, she has a really good human rights record. She's done some stunning work in, you know, Africa and other places. But she called the UN Security Council meeting, the most important body in the UN, the one that deals with ceasefires, right, and conflict situations. She called a Security Council meeting in March of last year and said, we're going to take into account LGBTQI concerns in everything we do here. And China and Russia and Ghana and several other countries laughed at her and said, no, we're not doing that.
This is hard pass.
This is completely inappropriate. So we've asked our supporters, and a bunch of them have done it, please contact Ambassador Greenfield and let her know that we are not down with you pushing this. Why are you pushing this on the UN? The United States is the biggest funder of the UN, 22%. Behind us is China at 15%, right? So we are the big dog. Everybody at the UN in New York will tell you this. We are the big dog at the UN. Whatever the U.S. wants to do, that's kind of the way things go. And so for us to be pushing this at the UN is terrible. It is just ridiculous. And we want to put some pressure on Ambassador Thomas to say, stop doing this.
And ludicrous.
Yeah, you are on the wrong track here. Do not do this. So a lot of our supporters have contacted her. And I hope it kind of comes out like the NetBurn thing, right? Where it's like, once the public lets you know that you are off the rails here, you know, get back on track. In California, you know, our government is very crazy about this, as you know. We have a lot of states
that have gone. We do have to take a really quick break. Let's do that and then come back with how pervasive it is. Because honestly, people think, oh, it's only happening in California. Hot tip, it's not actually. We'll be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She's the executive director for WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Reading, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of a stranger, but we love to try them.
Yes, we do love to try them on. Therein lies the discussion point. So what's the deal with all these organizations and states and stuff? How prevalent is this?
It's gone hyper-partisan, right? So, you know, for example, Texas, I'm actually going to help Ken Paxton, the Attorney General there, who's not a guy I really agree with on a lot of things, right? He wants to, you know, cause women in that state a lot of problems, but... You know, he's going up in court on some stuff that we're working with. He's suing the Biden administration to stop the Title IX from being implemented and the EEOC rewrite, right? So to stop the feds from implementing the rule changes that would force everything to, you know, accommodate the craziness of transgender ideology. So many of the red states have done that. They have pushed back really, really hard. And many of the blue states have doubled down, which is crazy. The other thing that's really insidious about this is that there are companies like BlackRock, have you heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard?
Yep.
Okay, huge, huge, huge investment firms, right? And they buy up shares in corporations where they can take a fairly large stake, like 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% of the corporate shares, right? And then that gives them all kinds of power to dictate to the board of directors that you will hit your DEI scores, your diversity, equity, and inclusion scores. And that means that you will accommodate. You know how we were talking a little earlier about how employers are required to do all this training and all? Oh, yeah, and then they get scored now by these big investment firms who are holding huge leverage over them, and they have to meet these, you know, transgender-friendly workplace scores. So, you know, the bathrooms have to be mixed gender. And so many of the big corporations, they're going to have enormous HR departments that are going to handle this, right, and all kinds of consultants. And, you know, they're going to find eight ways to Christmas to make this happen. And then they have to bring on consultants who tell them how you make accommodations for transgender ideology. And so some of this pressure is coming from the United States government, obviously. The Biden administration is very captured by it. But some of it's also coming from giant investment firms, right, that are doing this. And a few companies lately have walked away from this. So Coors, and of Coors Company, right, they've walked away from it. And Tractor Supply is another one that walked away from it and said, no, we're not doing this. And who is it that's running this sort of DEI push? Well, that would be the Human Rights Campaign, who is absolutely the anti-rights campaign, right? This is a, this supposedly was an organization to get marriage equality for gay and lesbian people. And instead, what they've done is drop that mission on the floor and push really hard to force corporations to get good scores, to being very friendly to LGBTQI and paying for the surgeries and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's been, this has been quite the well-coordinated. I mean, we have to take a note here, right? Like, this is very well-strategized, highly funded, and very pervasive. But some of the some of the red states are not having it. They've banned transgender surgery. We are aware of a rep in Texas, out of Houston, Sean Theory, who was a Democrat, and she stood with the Republicans in the legislature and said, no, I think we need to ban these surgeries on kids. This is inhumane. We shouldn't be doing this. And for that, the Democrats made sure she lost her seat in the primary this year. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I tell you it's hyperpartisan, I'm not kidding. Right? I mean, this is brutal tactics. You either go along with this or you lose your seat or you lose your stock, I mean, it's very brutal the way these tactics are being played. And you're right, the ACLU is really big in this. Very big player in this. And it's shocking. Even Amnesty International.
How does that square with, with rights? I mean, the concept of rights.
I think what we have, what feminists are angry about, and I think you can understand this, but actually lesbians and gays are pretty angry about it too, is that how does it square with rights? We have to give up ours. That's the message.
Yes, exactly.
That is the message, is we have to give up ours, which again tells you something's really wrong here, really wrong. And again, this is behaving like no other human rights kind of campaign we've ever seen. That, in other words, when women got the right to vote, did that stop men from voting? No.
When do we trade? When did we start trading?
Yeah, that's what's different about this, right? When blacks protested and agitated and got civil rights in this country in the 60s and could buy houses and could get jobs, did that stop anybody else from buying a house or getting a job? No. You could still do all those things.
That just enhanced
right?
everybody's access to everything.
Exactly. So this is the only human rights movement we've ever seen that demands that you give up a lot of rights in order to accommodate it.
Yeah.
Right to have custody of your child. Right to have your own bathroom as a woman. Right to call yourself a woman. It is demanding that we do that, which tells you something's really wrong with this, because we just don't do human rights like this. This is not how it's done. So it's very different in that regard. And yes, women were being told, you sit down, shut up, and you will be fine with having that man in your prison cell. You will be fine with having that man in your bathroom. And women have long developed instincts as to how to stay alive from violence from men, right? So you're telling women to ignore those, and let that guy in. You're telling 8-year-olds, it's fine for that adult man to be on your swim team and change in the locker room with you. That is happening in Canada, believe it or not.
Really?
So you're teaching young girls and women to ignore their self-survival instincts, right, and accommodate someone who wants to be in there with them, that you don't know whether that person's going to harm you or not. Now, I'm not saying all trans people are violent. That would be very far a stretch. But when you're asking women to accommodate a fully intact male in their spaces and to ignore their safety instincts, that is devolutionary. Like, that is wrong. Now, lesbians and gays also... In fact, lesbians were the first ones to find out how bad this was, because suddenly there were all these men in dresses in their bars and in their dating apps telling them that they were transbians and that they had to date them. By definition, lesbians don't go out with men.
Right.
By definition.
Right.
They're only attracted to women. But they were being told that they were bigots for not sleeping with men in dresses and that they were horrible people for not wanting to date a man in a dress.
Well, it's just crazy because, I mean, there was a reason, they have men's rooms and women's rooms. I mean, there was a reason they set it up that way. And, 30, 40 years ago, that was never questioned. That was always just the way it is. And nobody ever heard of a man going into a women's room and making that okay. And the long game has really been effective, because now you have it both ways. You have bathrooms that are men and women going to the same bathroom. In fact, I just saw one last weekend. It's dangerous, and it's always been separated for that reason. You keep them separate, and that protects everybody. And now you've taken that protection away from women by allowing men to say, hey, I feel like a woman. I'm going to go in the women's room. Oh, you can't stop them.
No.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And so Okay, so you spend a lot more time in this space than we do, Sharon. So is the argument, well, hey, equal rights, women voting, all of that sort of thing was considered crazy too. So this is just an idea whose time has come.
That's an interesting question that you're asking. That's a very interesting question that you're asking. And again, I can accept that there might be people that really do feel like they are meant to be the opposite sex. You know, I remember when Madonna was breaking onto the scene and people were just accusing her of having a penis because she was just so brazen, you know, so crazy and so sexual. People were like, women just don't act like this, you know, and she was interrupting the male gaze, right? You know, she was looking directly at you and people were like, this is very masculine behavior. You know, she have a penis. She's like, sure, I do in my brain. You know, like that was how she was made, right? So,
you heard it here first.
Right? But I mean, when we were kids, you know, a lot of us played at Androgyne because it was kind of popular. Bowie was, you know, hot, but everybody was under no illusion that Bowie was anything but a man. Right? I mean,
right.
He ripped high heels and lipstick.
He was
and
a weird
that.
Man, and our dads would have freaked out if we brought him home, but, you know, other than that.
Oh, yeah, but he was a very randy man, as my mom would say in British parlance, meaning he liked to sleep around with a lot of women, you know, so, like, there was
Thank
no
God
question.
My parents didn't know anything about what was going on behind the music that we listened to. They didn't even like that. If they knew
right?
who was singing it, they would have freaked out.
Oh, and remember how all the big hair bands, you know, like Kiss and all that, the big hair hard rock bands, you know, they wore makeup and they had long hair and all. Again, none of us were under any illusion, you know, about
My dad
it.
Wouldn't let me get my ears pierced because he said only gypsies had pierced ears. That was the problem in our house. And I finally asked him about the third time I asked, you know, over a couple of years. And I was like 14 or something. I mean, it wasn't like I was 6. And I'm like, how many gypsies do you know, Dad? Wheels came off. I got my ears
Pow.
Pierced.
That's so funny.
Should have gone to law school.
I went to a lot of gay bars when I was young, and, you know, I went to drag shows and all of that. I saw all that. And not, but,
Look
again, those men knew they knew they were men, honey. They knew, and they knew it was entertainment, and it almost is like ancient Greek theater, right, where, you know, the Greeks never let a woman on stage. All the women in any Greek play were always played by men.
Oh, that's true.
But then women. You know, so, like, same with Shakespeare, right? So, like, it's been like this, you know, for a very long time. So I can accept that there might be individuals out there, and I had accepted the idea of a transsexual. That person still isn't going to be a woman at the end of all those surgeries, but they're going to live out their life as a reasonable facsimile of one. And I don't think any of us want to pound on a person like that. I don't think so. I think that, you know, whatever that person is going through is unique to them, and it's their journey, and I respect it. What I can't accept and won't accept is the self-ID part of this, where I just say so, and you have to accept it. Well, I just said I'm the President of the United States. You know, that's the way this logic works. And no, that isn't how things work. And we
no, you
it,
could
right?
say it. You can say it all you want, but I don't think you can expect everybody else to play along with that.
Yeah.
And that is the part that we are all objecting to. Not only are we being told that we must play along with it, we are being legislated that we must play along with
right.
it.
Right.
That is a loss of human rights. And
it absolutely is because you can't. Yeah, you're not allowed to assert basic things.
Yes, and the fact that, you know, we would push it through the school system, the fact that we would push it into law, it's a vast. You know, I think if we walked around on our streets today and asked the average person were they aware of any of this, many people would not be, and that right there is very dangerous. This is what is so dangerous about this: you find out after it happens. Right? You're not
well, after it's
it,
after it's inked in, right?
Exactly.
They float this out there, and while there's time to sort of push back on it, everybody kind of fobs it off as, well, that's just a you know, it's kind of craziness.
Yeah,
we're going through a phase. No one's really going to do that.
People interested in that to make a difference.
But I mean, this is even hitting in the Midwest and stuff. It isn't just a California thing.
No, it's totally not, and I want you to know, I went to the trial date setting for Tremaine Carroll, the rapist, in the women's prisons, right? His trial date setting was Friday. And in that trial date setting, the judge, a female judge, mandated that the district attorney must refer to Tremaine Carroll as a she, and that the women that will be coming in to testify that he raped them also must refer to him as a she.
Yes.
Can you imagine what that is
going to
do?
Judge needs a psychiatrist.
That is, and that has been happening in the UK. That has been happening in Australia. That has been happening in Canada, because they don't have the First Amendment. They don't have free speech rights, right? But in this courtroom where this man, this 6 foot tall man, is going to be tried for raping 2 women. And the DA pushed back and said, this is so ridiculous and this is so unfair to these women, you know, that they now have to refer to their rapist as a woman with a penis. Like, who does this? Right?
Yeah.
It is happening
right
in our court system. This is in our court system. And that is exactly the way Nett Burns, when she was being questioned by Cruz, that's exactly what she did. She said that the male rapist that she was transferring into the prison, the federal women's prison, she said, well, fundamentally, you know, this was a woman. What?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, no.
I mean, it is literally the confusion of the species, right?
Yeah.
We are deliberately being told that if a man says he's a woman, that we must accept that he's a woman, and that we must not question that he has a penis, and that we must not demand that he alter himself to look like a woman. Many of the inmates in the Chowchilla facility have called us and told us at Wolf that the men transferring in are not even bothering to present as female. They're not putting on any makeup. They're not, you know, growing out their hair. They're not even bothering because all they have to do is self-ID. That's all they have to do.
Yeah.
So that part, when that gets legislated into law, you know, and it has been legislated into law, this is what we have been fighting against and saying, absolutely not. Go ahead, live your best life. You want to walk around in a dress and call yourself a woman, you go ahead and do that. But you are not going to mandate that I support that.
Then I join the delusion. When we come back, I want you to talk about the spicy straights, because that should not go unheralded. Did that in the previous show, and that's been, again, I still have people come up to me and go, that made a lot of sense. So you're going to get some insight on the spicy straights when we return. And I don't know, I've got a couple of my favorite songs coming on.
Never thought you wonder why. If I could pull this off, would I know for certain the real situation behind the curtain? So beautiful.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Harvest savings and decorate your home for the fall with unique decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage on Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features unique antique tablecloths, napkins and runners, placemats, silverware and serving trays, plates and glassware to decorate your Thanksgiving table in style. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Original Exclusivos Nicaraguan Puro Corojo Wrapper equals a Don Pepin Classic. Cubanesque in flavor, strength, and size, this is the stick to celebrate your latest victory. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Anyway, tell us about the Spicy Straits. Maybe the song will be better after the Spicy Straits.
So, one of the things that we have seen people do, you know, again, you know, it's almost like a fashion trend, right? Which is like, I'm trans. I feel like I'm trans today. I think I'm going to be the opposite gender. So my daughter was telling me about this woman that's a kind of a couple that she knew, and they both decided they were trans, and that they, you know, and this is happening a lot, you know, where couples play at this game of, oh, I'm trans. So the woman comes into the store one day, and she's wearing a bikini top and cut-off shorts and has a mustache painted on her face. And she's, you know, sort of kvetching to my daughter, no one's getting my gender. Like, I just don't understand it. I'm getting misgendered everywhere. My daughter's like, you're not trans. You're not gay. You're not any. You're just a spicy straight.
you're just
trying to spice up your straightness, right? Because they're apparently being heterosexual is just so boring. So one of the things we had noticed as we were talking earlier, you know, that the lesbians and the gays really started having problems with this trans, you know, population, is because if you're lesbian, gay, or bisexual, you know, you have a sexual orientation that is not heterosexual. You are attracted to the same sex, or you're attracted to both sexes. So it's a sexual orientation, and no medicalization required, right? No dress up, no costumery, no surgeries required. It's just how you are. And many people find out what their sexuality is at an extremely early age. You know, like I watched my daughter bat her eyelashes at a neighbor, and she was like 18 months old. And I was like, oh, she's straight as a damn arrow, that one, you know, because I could see that she was having a very different reaction to him than she did to women, right? Very different reaction. So I knew right away. So when it first started, you know, they started adding all these initials up under the lesbian, gay, bisexual, you know, umbrella, a bunch of us were like, okay, something's going on over there. You know, it seems like they're having a few other sexual orientations added, a few initials, not even sure what all these mean, but okay. But I'm not lesbian or gay or bisexual, so it doesn't affect me. So a bunch of us didn't really pay attention. And then the next group of hit was women, right? Which is like, move over, there's men coming in, and you got to make room for them, and you got to call them ma'am. You know, like that's when we all found out, right? But like I said, the lesbians and the gays have been dealing with this for a while, and some of the lesbians and the gays were the first ones to point out, these people aren't, they don't have a different sexual orientation. They're straight. They're absolutely straight. Why are they over here with us? You know, this makes no sense. And very often when a man decides he's going to play at being a woman, but he still wants to have sex with women, what he'll do is call himself a transbian, right? He's a trans lesbian, which the lesbians don't buy.
Transbian.
He's got a penis.
I got to get that on their gender of the week.
Yeah, they're not buying it. And by the way, the gay men had the same reaction. They were like, why are these women coming to the gay bars and picking up on us? These women like men. They're straight women. Why are they coming in the gay bars and pretending that they're now gay men, that they're, you know, that they're men? And so both of those groups started noticing this early on and said, these are just straight people. They don't belong over here under this umbrella with us. But by then it was too late. They've been overtaken. And the other thing that pissed a lot of people off was the introduction of the word queer. And, you know, my parents are British, and my mom will tell you queer was definitely a slur. And most Americans took it as a slur as well.
What does it mean on the British side?
That you're a homosexual man and a deviant. Right? So, I mean, sort of old terminology from, you know, 40s, 50s, and 60s. But it was thought the same way in America, that if you said you were queer, this was absolutely a slur. If somebody called you a queer, it was absolutely a slur.
Don't you remember when we were kids? There was a game where you threw... It was Smear the Queer, remember?
It was.
And it was kind of like dodgeball, but it was slightly more aggressive and... And it didn't have anything to do with anybody's sexual anything. It was just the game.
Yeah. I'm a monster.
I grew up with monsters.
So now for these kids to come out and say, I'm queer. You know, I feel like it. We're here. We're queer. We're not going anywhere. You know, a lot of the older gays are like, oh, my God, that was a slur. Please do not use that. Please do not pull that out.
Okay.
You know.
And what does it even mean? What in real life, what's it mean? I realize it's no longer a children's game. It would no longer be appropriate. Bill looks at me like I'm making it up, but you played it too. It was a game when you were a kid, wasn't it?
No, you were a monster.
I knew I was going to get thrown under the bus. Why did I just walked right into it. What am I, an only child? What the hell? Well, what does it mean now?
What's queer mean now?
Yeah, kind of confusing.
Well, it's another way to opt out of that you know, straight white colonizer narrative, right?
But you're not lesbian, you're not gay, and you're not one of the myriad of flags that I've alluded to earlier?
Oh, you're non-binary, meaning that you don't identify as either male or female, you know, that you're gender fluid. So
it's not a one thing, it's a sort of a basket.
Yeah, and it looks very much like a fashion accessory to me, right? Like, it's like, okay, you just put that on and put that label on yourself, and you know, now you're special. You know, you're extra special. You're unique, just like everyone else, you know?
Sure.
So this, it's very, that part of and the queering of everything. And what they've done now is gone, you know, through history books and all kinds of things to say that, you know, Cleopatra was trans, or that, you know, Caesar was queer, or that, you know, all kinds of just kooky, you know, again, let's say everybody on the planet's dead, you know, and some alien species shows up here, and they find skeletons, right?
Like,
and they look
wait,
at the skeletons.
What? Huh? Yeah, and they'd be like, what?
Yep, and let me tell you, if they dig up a trans woman, it's going to be a man, right? Like, that's how that is. It's a man. So, I mean, you can, again, you can say whatever you want. You can put on any costume that you want, don any label that you want. But, you know, infringing on the rights of the rest of us.
Yeah.
Is forcing us to affirm your delusion.
Well, and being allowed to victimize people. Because this isn't just words hurt, right? This is people are being assaulted. Their lives are being altered because we are required to, I guess, not speak out about what's reality.
Yes, and again, we do have free speech in this country, which means we can criticize our government, right? And not be hanged for it. But you know, many women who do speak up about this are being deplatformed. They are kicked off of certain platforms. They are losing their jobs because they refuse to say that a man is a woman. They have been kicked out of their sport. I think you probably saw the news story from the World Darts Federation that any woman who refuses to compete in a woman's darts competition because she's angry that there's a male in that competition with her will be punished.
Oh.
She will be disciplined. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, you know, this kind of thing, you know, this is enforcement of
that's going down a whole different road right there. But, you know, I think it all kind of started when, you know, you had guys dressing up as women and people were like, hey, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. Just don't, you know, don't push it on me and that's fine. Do your thing. And I think there was an acceptance there that maybe people didn't realize where this whole thing was going, and maybe these people didn't even know where it was going at the time. But I think early on, it was do your thing, just don't push it on me. Well, now it's gone to I'm going to do my thing, and you're going to go along
and
with it.
And you're going to like it.
And you're going to, yeah, you have to go along with it. Or, like you just said, there'll be consequences. And that's a whole different deal.
Okay.
It is a very different deal.
Well, where do you think it goes from here?
I don't know. I mean, you asked me earlier, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it, you know, I can foresee a future where, you know, we come to our senses, that the Supreme Court issues a ruling, for example, right? That undoes all this. I can see a future where that could happen. I can also see a future where the Supreme Court affirms it, you know, and we're stuck. You know, and actually the Supreme Court has done that in an employment case, right? That, you know, the Supreme Court issued a ruling in Bostock case, for example, where they said you can't, you know, they went further than Bostock required and said basically that, you know, if the person is transgender, you have to accept it. And you can't, you know, push back on it. So I can see two different futures where we double down and get worse. Like, and that is happening in Australia. I mean, there are women being dragged before commissions in Australia for refusing to affirm that a man
really?
Is a woman. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see it going that same in Canada. I could see that happening. You know, the U.S., again, is a little different because you do have this First Amendment right to criticize your government.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if your government is, you know, and I think the Supreme Court would not want to do anything that starts to compel speech or thought, right? Like that,
right.
This court in particular, I think, would not want to do that. But there are some cases going going up. We're going to be putting an amicus brief in on one of them where, you know, basically it is Tennessee's surgery ban for minors. That's going before the Supreme Court. And guess what? Yeah, the ACLU is putting in a brief, right, saying that, you know, this is wrong and that the kids need to be trans. We're going the other direction, you know. And so I don't know how it's all going to turn out. It is a whack, crazy world. In New England, some women are being arrested for putting up the wrong things on Facebook about this.
No kidding.
So it's crazy. I don't know how it's all going to turn out.
Wow. Well, with your organization, are you guys getting, you know, are you getting a lot of calls to come and weigh in on all this? I mean, who helps you and who helps you?
So it's interesting that you ask that. Most of the, as you know, most of the supporters at Wolf tend to be progressive refugees who are shocked that the Democrats not only are not going to help women, that they actually hate us. You know, they're just shocked. They're like, what? You know, I've been told to vote this way my whole life, right? So we have some conservative supporters, too, which we really appreciate. We're a nonpartisan group. So, you know, you take your allies where you can find them when you're doing nonpartisan work, right? You just got to, any and all allies, you got to take them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do get some help. We've got a really, really good pro bono lawyer on the team who's a retired Massachusetts justice. She's been helping us. We probably are going to submit by the end of this year 7 different amicus briefs before higher courts on this subject. And we are also continuing to, we've refiled our case in California, right, for violating the rights of the women in prison. So it's a lot of work. And, of course, I weigh in, you know, we do a lot of commenting and public comment on policies that are being put forward by the states, right, and legislation. So we do a lot of legislative advocacy. And we do some public education forums as well. We're doing a women's upraising in Philadelphia next weekend to talk about violence against women and how it's being used to coerce, shut up, and just, you know, make women pretty much go the way of the Taliban, right, at this point. I mean, it feels like sometimes when you're in this work that the end game here is Talibanism, that women will not be allowed to speak, will not be allowed to do, you know, there's a whole repeal of the 19th movement at the moment going. So there's a lot of work to do out there. But, you know, and we work really, really hard, as you know, Aaron, for a small team, and we cover a lot of terrain, but we need a lot more of us, right? And it hurts that the other big national feminist orgs are not on the team.
No.
Planned Parenthood is the biggest distributor of puberty blockers and hormones in the United States
who
right
is?
Now. Planned Parenthood.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's healthcare, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. That, you know, if you're a kid that needs to get those puberty blockers, Planned Parenthood is your best friend. And so they're not on the team. And like I told you, National Organization for Women's not on the team. Even Amnesty International's not on the team.
You gotta wonder if some of these guys are just going to get the pants sued off them at some point.
So that is happening, too. That is happening. Some of the doctors are being sued. And in fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics is being sued by a woman that we platformed who is a detransitioning female. She is suing her doctor and the American Academy of Pediatrics because they amputated her breast, gave her a mastectomy at like 17, and put her on the drugs. And, you know, I don't know if you remember what you were like at 17, but you're a whole different person by the time you're 30. You know, like things that you thought were whatever they were at 17, 18, you have a whole different head by the time you're about 25.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we should not really be letting, I mean, yeah, I hear you on the getting your ears pierced, right? But you can always let those close up. Your breasts are not going to
close
up.
Especially when my dad got busted for not knowing any gypsies.
I know, but when we do these altering surgeries on kids, they're not going to, I mean, if you cut your breasts out,
that's a one-way trip.
Yeah.
It's not going to grow back. But 17-year-olds often don't understand things, or 14-year-olds don't understand things like that, right? They just don't.
Well,
so,
it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, parents went through the same thing their kids are going through, only now it's okay for the parent to, that same person to go, oh, when I was your age, I felt the same way. So, well, let's do it different.
Well, they want to, and it's become a social contagion, too. There's there's an element of, you know, quote, popularity, I think, in the parent ranks.
Absolutely.
You
know. I have a special file.
I've got a trans child too, and so rather than help your kid cope with the world, let's create an alternate identity, because that would have worked for all of us. It would have been a crisis. So we're headed into the last 1 minute, and we found the song I wanted to play, because we got to play it when we're on with you. So we've got to add that, and we don't want to cut you off at the pass there. So our guest has been Sharon Byrne. We have forced her to be our hostage for the entire show, and we will do it again in the future.
Yes. Sharon, thank you for coming on.
Thanks a million. And you can find the archive of the show. Please send it to people so they can begin talking about it. It's at wethepeopleradio.us.
I would be happy to do that. And thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.